Well, good morning, everybody. You're all very welcome this Sunday morning here to First Rathfore Island. If you're a visitor with us this morning, you're very welcome here. And if you're joining with us online on YouTube, good morning to you from Rathfore Island. I just have some short announcements to make in advance of this morning's service. If you just bear with me for just a few moments, I'll be as quick as I can. Children will leave after the singing of the children's praise. And then this evening at 7 p.m. we gather again together here in the church building for our Easter Sunday evening service, and we'll be joined by our neighbours and friends of Second and Third Presbyterian Church. So that's back here in the church at 7 p.m. Just a reminder to say that there will be no midweek Bible study and prayer meeting this incoming week. Next Saturday, the 6th of April, Youth Fellowship will meet in the manse at 7:30 p.m. Next Sunday, the 7th of April, prayer meeting at 11 a.m. in the Morrison Room. And Sunday morning worship next Sunday will be here in the church, as usual, at 11:30 a.m. A reminder, too, just to say that the Reverend Moody plans to organise new communicant classes in the manse on the afternoon of the following date. So if you are interested in becoming a communicant member of the congregation, take a note of these dates and get in touch with our minister for more detail. Sunday afternoon, the 14th of April, Sunday afternoon, the 21st of April, and Sunday afternoon, the 28th of April. And again, just speak to the Reverend Moody for more detail. It is indeed with great sadness I announce the sudden passing of my brother, Hubert Scott. Hubert's funeral took place here yesterday afternoon in the church, followed by committal in the churchyard afterwards. On your behalf and on behalf of this congregation, I extend the sympathy to his widow Irene, to the family Samantha, Hubert, Andrew and Alex, their children and the wider family circle. And may I just, on this occasion, and if you don't mind, I'll take the liberty and to say thank you to the congregation for your very kind messages and text messages and phone calls. For your sympathy at this time, it's been very much appreciated by me, and I know indeed by my siblings, who are very much indebted to you all for your kindness. Thank you.
Good morning, and welcome to this Easter service. In Revelation 1, verse 18, we read these words, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever." We gather here today to worship the one true living God, to worship the Lord Jesus, the one who was dead. He is now alive. So let us stand and worship him as we sing our first hymn, "See What a Morning."
Angels around.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, living God, Lord, we gather this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to celebrate once more his glorious resurrection, to rejoice once more at his victory over evil, hatred, and death. Lord, we gather to give thanks once again for his living presence with us now and always. Lord, receive our praise, our worship, ourselves as we come before you today. Lord, fill us afresh with joy and wonder as we hear again the message of the risen Christ, as we recognize his glorious presence among us through his Holy Spirit. Lord, be with us. And Lord, challenge us afresh this day. Lord, as we hear again the wonderful news that Jesus died and rose again, Lord, help us not simply hear something we're so familiar with today, but Lord, we pray that you will speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, you will gladden us, fill us with joy. And Lord, perhaps those that come here today and gather and still do not know your son Jesus personally, Lord, I pray that during this service you will challenge and convict. Lord, challenge each one of us. Help us, Lord, as your people, so we can go out into the rest of this day, into this new week, as followers of your risen Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from Mark chapter 15. And these are very familiar words, starting at verse 6 to 20. And these verses will be covering some of what the children will be looking at in Sunday school and also what we will be looking at later on in the service as well. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Now it was the custom of the feast to release a prisoner, whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole crowd of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Again and again they struck him in the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they'd mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. They let him out to crucify him. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now the choir are going to come and bring us an anthem entitled, "Jesus Paid It All." Thank you, choir. Now, if the children would like to come to the front, I'll come down and talk to everyone there. Grant. You squeezing in there? Okay. Don't really move this a wee bit, so hold on. You can move up a wee bit. Now, how are you all doing today? No, did you say no school? Yeah, no school. You're not all happy, at least, because there's no school. Are you all tired? You're not tired? That's good. That's good. Well, today I have a wee bag of things with me, and I'm going to show them to you. Some perhaps it's a bit strange, but for example, I have these. What are they? Okay, this is going to be really, really long if no one speaks to me today. Come on, what are they? Breadsticks. Breadsticks. Now, not really one of my favorites, a favorite with some others in my family, but some Tesco breadsticks. I'm sure there's other varieties. You like them, do you, Megan?
No.
You might like some other stuff too, but there we go. There's that. What else do I have in here? Oh, what are they? Smarties, who likes Smarties? Yeah? A lot of people like Smarties. Maybe too many E numbers sometimes, but anyway. There you go, the Smarties. What else? Oh.
Coca-Cola.
Zero. They don't really last too long in our house, so they don't, but hopefully I'll set it here just so it doesn't spoil the nice woodwork. There you go. Yep.
No.
Some milk. Well, there's a milk carton anyway. What else do I have in here? Oh, something else. You'd think I'd raided the recycle bin. I didn't. What about these? Chewing gum. Bit of chewing gum there. Bit of Wrigley's Extra. 60 pieces too. Doesn't really last too long in my house. It all disappears for some reason. But there's that as well. Oh, and what about these? What did you say they were? Yeah, they're Ritz crackers. You know, when I was growing up, I loved these. These are the cheese ones. And I confess, I found them in the top shelf. And, well, didn't last that long. So there's some Ritz as well. Now, all those things have something in common, don't they? They've all something in common. Every one of those has something. What do you think it is? Yep.
You could eat and drink them all.
You could eat and drink. Well, what was in them? Yep. Although you don't swallow chewing gum, remember? Don't swallow chewing gum if you're eating it. But yeah. But no, there's something else that links them all very closely. My daughter even shouted out earlier. So she did. Something about them all. Come on. What was that, Megan?
Empty.
Are they empty? Very good. See, my daughter had to explain. Yeah, they're empty. We didn't even rehearse this beforehand. They're all empty. There's nothing in them. And hold on. A bag's not empty yet, is it? There's one more thing in it. Oh, that really destroys. I can't talk about things being empty if these aren't empty, can I? Can you help me out?
Haribo.
Haribo. So, do you all want some Haribo? There you go. You can help me because I can't have a full bag and all the other things empty. There you go.
But usually, when we think of things that are empty, it's not good, is it? Oh, you want to get a wee closer look? Oh, there you go. Great. I think I've got too many bags. You pass that down the line there, sir. And see. Grand. Oh, it's not going to be empty. What am I going to do? Here. Here's a man that looks as if he wants a wee pie. There, Mark.
One on pie. Thank you.
There you go. Oh, take one for it. There you go.
Thank you.
Hold on, here's someone else. Sorry, just don't want. There you go. Sorry. Margaret, do you want to help me out there?
You want to go?
Oh, no, I don't know if there's enough for all the choir. So I'll have to offer one over here instead. Take away. Grams. This is totally unrehearsed, you know. I just have to get this empty. Oh, wait.
Thank you.
There's one left. Just want to fight over that last one. There you go. Thank you all for helping me out there. Now, not only do we have those empty, an empty bag of Haribo and an empty shopping bag. Oops. There you go. All empty. Now, it's not good sometimes when we find things empty. Although, it's sometimes good when they are full and then empty because you get to enjoy them. What was in the bag, don't you? Yeah. But, excuse me. Sometimes when we find things empty, it's not so good. For example, not only what we see there, you go to the cupboards, empty. Not so good if you're looking for your breakfast, is it? No. That always happens to me. You go to your wallet. Well, you don't have a wallet, do you? Parents, wallet or purse, you go, you're about to pay for something, and there's no money there. There's usually moths fly out of my wallet, but not so good if it's empty. Or what about this? You go to your garage. Well, your parents go to the garage to try and get their car. Empty. Not so good. Having things empty, usually, it's not so good. Yet, at this time of year, on this day, we celebrate. We rejoice because something was found empty. What was found empty that we celebrate at Easter? Yeah? The tomb. The tomb was found empty. And because of that, we are so excited. Because of that, we celebrate. That first Easter morning, some ladies were going to go to the tomb. The body of the Lord Jesus had been placed in a tomb. He had died on the cross. He had cried, "It is finished." He had paid the price for our sins in full. His body was taken, placed in a tomb. That great stone was rolled across, and soldiers were placed there. Now, on that first Easter morning, some ladies, they decided they were going to go to that tomb. They had been faithful to the Lord Jesus. Even when he was on the cross, they had watched from a distance. The disciples, most of them had fled. But the ladies had watched. They knew where the body was laid. So they were going to put some spices on the body. That's something they did. And they were probably thinking, what are we going to do? Big stone, soldiers. How are we going to get to the Lord Jesus? But when they went there, what did they find? Come on. Yeah. Well, they found first, they couldn't see the soldiers. The stone was rolled away. And when they looked in, well, the tomb wasn't totally empty, was it? When they looked in, there was somebody there. And it wasn't the Lord Jesus. Who was there? Yeah. an angel. There was an angel. There was also the grave clothes that had been wrapped around the body of the Lord Jesus. They were there. No Jesus, but there was an angel. And the angel said, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." He was not there. And that made the ladies to think they were excited. Were they? They were still a little bit confused because they weren't sure exactly what had happened. But what had happened? Where was Jesus? You're all just thinking of your Haribo now, aren't you? Where was the Lord Jesus? He wasn't there. He was. He was alive. He was risen. He was alive. He wasn't there. Many other people saw him afterwards. One time over 500 people saw he was alive. He had died, but he rose again. And because he did, that changed everything. Because that tomb was almost empty, Jesus was not there, that changes everything for you and for me. That's why we celebrate today. Because that tomb was empty, we know that Jesus paid the price for your sins and mine in full. All the wrong things you have done, all the wrong things I have done, forgiven by the Lord Jesus. That's why he died on the cross. Because that tomb was empty, we can know we can have life to the full now and forever, because Jesus died and rose again. So that's why we are excited. And that's why we rejoice on Easter Sunday morning. But it's also important. Jesus done all those things. He died. He rose again for you. But you must do something. You must ask him to forgive you for your sins. Your sins are not forgiven by default. You have to ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins. He will, as you trust in him, as you commit your life to live for him, he will give you sins forgiven, life to the full now and forever. So make sure you do that. That tomb was empty because Jesus was alive. Make sure you're trusting in him, and make sure you rejoice, because that's what Easter's all about. And that's why we're also thankful, because that tomb was empty. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And I better clear this or I might get told off as well. But we'll pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that that tomb was almost empty, that the Lord Jesus was alive. We thank you that the angel was there to tell the ladies and to tell us and remind us that Jesus died but rose again victoriously, paying the price in full for our sins, giving us life to the full, life eternal. Lord, we praise your name, we rejoice, and I pray each one here will put their trust in Jesus, who he is, what he's done for them on the cross, and that they will commit their lives to living for him. Lord, we rejoice because Jesus is alive. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing, "Thank You, Jesus."
Thank you.
Now in a few moments we're going to pray. We're going to give thanks again to God for what he has done for us. And we'll give thanks for the offering. I remind you the little envelope, again, as always, not compulsory, but the little envelope is an Easter offering, again, to some of the missions that we support. So that little envelope, the money will not go to First. It will be split in between the four missionary organizations, as we've been talking over about them over the past number of weeks, CEF, Belfast City Mission, Every Home Crusade, and European Christian Mission. So that's where the money will go tonight, this morning, and also tonight. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence in prayer, Lord, we come with thankful hearts. Lord, we are so thankful that you loved us so much. You gave us your Son. You gave us Jesus, the one through whom the Bible says everything was created, became one of us, living among us, living a perfect life, then dying on the cross for our sins, paying the price in full for our rebellion, for all that we've done wrong, rising again victoriously, showing us that the price is truly paid and that we too can have life, life to the full now and eternally. Lord, we give you praise. We give you thanks. And Lord, today again, we give you our offerings as a small token of our thankfulness. And Lord, we pray that you will take them and use them for your glory and your honor. And Lord, we thank you that we can bring our prayers before you, our God. Lord, today especially we pray for those who mourn, for the Scott family. Lord, as they mourn the loss of Hubert, Lord, I just pray for them at this time. I pray that you'll continue to be with them. Lord, just give them the strength they need, the comfort they need at this time and in the hours and days ahead. Lord, as they lean on you, help them see that you are the faithful shepherd that will lead and guide as we look to you and follow you. So, Lord, give them the comfort and strength that's needed. Lord, for others in this church who are mourning over the loss of loved ones, Lord, I pray you will continue to sustain them and guide them. Help them find their shelter in you. Lord, for those today who are not well, those who are sick, those who would love to be with us but cannot, Lord, I pray that you will place your healing hands upon them. Those, Lord, that are in hospital beds today, Lord, I pray that you will be with them, help them to know your presence, guide the doctors as they perhaps still seek to diagnose what's wrong, and then guide them to the best treatment possible. Lord, we thank you for the nurses who are looking after our loved ones at this time. We thank you for our carers, those who care for others day in and day out. Lord, doing those practical things that need to be done, we thank you for them. Continue to give them the strength they need so they can give the care that's needed to our loved ones. Lord, as we pray today, we pray for those missionary societies, Lord, that we're seeking to support, not just financially, but in prayer. Lord, we thank you for Child Evangelism Fellowship. And Lord, I pray as they meet in Portrush this weekend, that you will encourage them, that, Lord, you will be challenging others that go to the meetings this weekend. Lord, challenge them in where they are with you and challenge them in how they can use their lives to serve you also. So, Lord, I pray that you'll really bless all the workers and the people that are gathered this weekend up in Portrush. Lord, we pray too, continue to pray for the Belfast City Mission workers. We pray as they have many opportunities this weekend to present the gospel. Lord, we pray that each word that is spoken that you will use, that your word will not fall. But Lord, you will use it through your Holy Spirit to bring people to know you, the one true living God. Lord, we thank you for European Christian Mission. We thank you for the work in Waterford, and we pray for that assembly today. We pray, Lord, that as they meet, that, Lord, they will be able to celebrate and rejoice too over your risen Son, and that you will encourage them and lead them as they are a light there in Waterford. Lord, use them for your glory and honor. And Lord, as we think again of every home crusade, Lord, we thank you for the amazing literature that they produce and for the fact they were able to send it all over into all different parts of the world. The gospel message going to different countries in their own language. And Lord, we pray that you will use that work, that people will be reading those leaflets, Lord, and they will commit their lives to you. Lord, people in different countries will be using the massive amount of resources that they send out so they can teach others your word too. Lord, we thank you for every home crusade. And Lord, we pray that you will bless their work in all the different parts in the world. And Lord, I pray for each one of us gathered here today. Lord, I pray that you will help us wherever you have put us to use the gifts you have given us for your glory and honor. Lord, help us to serve you, our living Lord, wherever we go. Lord, use us as we seek to follow you. Help us be the light. Help us be the salt you call us to be right where you place us, even in this incoming week. Help us make a difference for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to stand and worship God again, this time as we sing the hymn, I Serve a Risen Savior. The hand is an amazing thing. 27 bones, apparently, in your hands. In your hand. And, of course, we can use them for many things. We can use them to write, to type. Some have the ability to use their hands very well in painting. Others to sculpture. We can use our hands to help others in practical ways. Unfortunately, we can also use our hands to hurt. But this morning, we are going to look at some of the hands of Easter and what the people did. So first of all, we have these hands, the hands of Judas Iscariot. A name that perhaps screams traitor to us, turncoat, although the actual meaning of Judas is praise the Lord. This Iscariot apparently means he was from the village of Keroth, 15 miles of south of Hebron. But we know, of course, he was one of the 12 disciples called to preach the gospel, cast out demons and heal the sick. He was the treasurer, kept track of the money. But unlike ours, he was corrupt. We find that in John at Bethany, when Judas objects to what Mary does there, there's a little commentary added saying that Judas was a thief, helping himself to the money when he needed it. Judas Iscariot. Luke 22 verse 3 says, then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. He went to the chief priests, the officers of the temple, to discuss how he would betray Jesus. And they, of course, were delighted. They were delighted, and they handed him 30 pieces of silver, apparently the going rate at that time for a slave. And then, of course, he comes to the Garden of Gethsemane and betrays Jesus with a kiss. Such betrayal. It's terribly hard, isn't it? When someone you know so well betrays you. Again, in history, we have other examples. Etu Brute. Again, from William Shakespeare play, but apparently the last, they could have been the last words of Julius Caesar as he's been stabbed to death by assassins, among whom he recognizes one of his closest friends, Marcus Brutus. Betrayal. In America, General Benedict Arnold, tired of other officers taking credit for his accomplishments, he betrayed West Point to the British. Betrayal is terrible, but none of these are anything compared to the betrayal here we find Judith betraying the Son of God. When he realized what he did try and give the money back. Too late, however. Matthew 24, I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied, that's your responsibility. What a sad, sad story. One who seemed to be part of the team, one of the disciples, yet in the end he obviously was not one of his true followers. In Matthew 27, verse 22 and 23, it tells us this. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. We are reminded perhaps through the story of Judas that simply going to church all your life, being part of all their activities, having a position even in church, that is not what will make you right with God. You could have all those things and, like Judas, not be on God's team. The Bible says each one of us needs a complete change of heart. We need to have surrendered our lives to God, trusting in Christ, devoting our life to follow him. That is the only way we can be one of his disciples, true disciples, surrendering our lives to God through trusting in Jesus. We may do lots of religious things, but unless we are trusting in Christ, the Bible says we are not one of his disciples. Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus. And then we find the hands of Peter. The hands of Peter, one of the disciples, one of the three closest disciples. And I love to think of the disciples. They did have swords with them at times. The Bible tells us when they went to Gethsemane, Jesus told them they have their swords with them. But he didn't want them to use them. When Jesus was arrested, we're told Peter took out his sword to defend the Lord Jesus. Very zealous. He took it and cut off one of the high priest's servant's ears. Such zeal, such loyalty, such trust in his own abilities. Peter seemed to be full of zeal, standing up for the Lord Jesus. But it wasn't too long after we see something of Peter's true nature at this time. In Matthew 26, after Jesus had told the disciples they would fall away, they would leave him, Peter says these words, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Such confidence in his own abilities. And again, when challenged by the Lord Jesus, Peter again says, "Even if I have to die for you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. How confident was Peter in his own abilities? Yet later, what happened? Exactly what Jesus said would happen. When it came to it, when people asked Peter, did he know Jesus? He denied it. "I don't know him." Not once, not twice. Three times, and then we know that the cock crowed just as Jesus said. How could someone so zealous, standing up for Jesus, yet shortly after deny that he even knew him three times? Again, Peter was trusting in his own abilities, his own strength. What about you? What about me? Do you look at others at times? Look at other people and their failings and think, how could they do that? I would never do that. I would never do such a terrible thing. Or perhaps at times you take for granted the skills that God has given you, thinking you can do it all by yourself. You know, by ourselves, the Bible tells us we do not have the strength to take a stand. We truly are weak. He is strong, and we are called to depend on him every moment. 2 Corinthians 12:10, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." We need to understand that. Not to understand that brings disaster. We need to understand that we are weak, that when we follow Christ, we are not perfect. We are trusting, we are following the one who is. We need to continually depend on God, who is more than able, not to depend on him, not to be asking him for help each day to do what we need to do spells disaster. We need to depend on him continually. And when we don't, when we mess up royally, and sometimes we do, what do we do straight away? Well, we are called to confess. To ask the Lord to forgive us. Is God willing to forgive us? Is God willing to forgive us as Christians when we do terrible things because we are more than capable of doing things that we shouldn't? Well, thankfully, we see with the life of Peter that Jesus certainly is. The angel at the tomb told the ladies to tell the disciples, and Peter specifically. Peter may have thought he had totally blown it by denying he knew Jesus three times. But again, straight away, the message goes, tell Peter. In John, three times Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Three times telling him, slightly different ways to feed his lambs, showing him that he is completely and totally forgiven. Remember, that's what we have in Christ. Complete and total forgiveness is available for you, no matter what you have done. Perhaps you have trusted the Lord many years, and perhaps there's things that you are ashamed of. Bring them before the Lord. Ask him to forgive you for them. And he will, because of Christ. He will. Take heart. When we royally mess up, we need to be quick to ask for his forgiveness, because in Christ it is always available. Never forget that. Always available. We can be reminded of that through Peter. And then these hands, the hands of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea from AD 26 to 36, serving under Emperor Tiberius, known, of course, by his involvement with the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. We know, even from reading the verses, he did not want to crucify Jesus. He calls the charges against Jesus baseless. He declares him not guilty several times. Again in Luke 23, for the third time he spoke to them. Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him. He tried. He had the power to stop his death. In John 19:12, it says, from then on, Pilate did try to set Jesus free. He tried to make use of a law that allowed the Jewish people to free someone that was in death row. But instead of choosing Jesus, they chose the insurrectionist Barabbas instead. And in the end, Matthew 27, when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. He washed his hands of the whole situation. Shocking. But is that not what some people do today? Unfortunately, some people have washed their hands of the Lord Jesus, wanting nothing to do with him anymore. Perhaps over the years, they have heard the same gospel that you have heard here in First or elsewhere. Perhaps they showed interest for a time, knowing in their hearts it was true that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for their sins. But where are they now? Perhaps they have decided to have nothing to do with Jesus at all. Perhaps they still cling to his name, perhaps calling themselves Christians, but by their fruit or lack of it, they have shown they have truly washed their hands of him, not coming together, not following him anymore. Do not give up on such people, because without the grace of God, we would be the same. We are nothing special. We are trusting in someone who is. Therefore, for others perhaps that you know are not here today, and perhaps they normally would, keep praying for them. Keep encouraging them. Encouraging them verbally and practically. Continue to live your lives as you're supposed to in front of them as Christians, pouring your life out for them. Continually show that Christian example and praying that God will soften their hearts. So instead of washing their hands of the Lord Jesus, wanting nothing to do with him, they may, because of your witness, your actions, the words, the witness that you have to them, they may come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So never give up on someone who seems to have washed their hands of the Lord Jesus. Still use the opportunities God has given. Then, of course, they're the hands of the soldiers. Pontius Pilate was done with Jesus. The governor's soldiers took him. The whole company gathered around him, we're told. They stripped him. They stripped our Lord, humiliating him, dressing him in a purple robe to make fun of him. Purple robes, again, were a symbol of royalty. They were mocking the Lord Jesus. They used their hands to form a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Every king, of course, needs a scepter, so they gave him one, we're told, one of bamboo canes that they would use to administer beatings to the Lord. They hit him with it. They blindfolded him, we're told, and they punched him. Oops. They used their fists to punch him, making fun of him, asking him, who did it? They gambled for his clothes, throwing dice to see who would win. And they crucified him. They took those spikes and drove them through the hands of the Lord Jesus, probably the lower part through the carpals, hammering those nails into his hands, into his feet, sticking a spear in his side, making sure he was dead. What those soldiers did to our Lord was terrible, terrible. But he endured all that for you and me. Remember that, what the Lord Jesus endured. All that humiliation, the King of Kings willing to humble himself, allowing his created to do that to him out of love for you and me. Staying on that cross for you and for me. What love, a love that calls us to act. A love that calls us to act humbly as the Lord Jesus did. How are we to act and react with others that sometimes do us wrong? We would do well to take the example of the Lord Jesus, humbling ourselves, praying for those that perhaps do us wrong, praying that God will help us not retaliate when we could, showing that godly example that the Lord Jesus did when he allowed these soldiers to hurt him so much out of love for you and me. And of course, the hands of the Lord Jesus. Those nails, those spikes through the hands of our Creator, the King of Kings. In Isaiah, we read, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. He hung on the cross for you and for me. He willingly allowed them to do those terrible things. He could have stopped them. He could have called the legion of angels to his aid. But he stayed on that cross for you, enduring the wrath of his Father for all sin, dying for you. He cried, it is finished. The price for your sins was paid so you and I could have peace with God. That's amazing love, isn't it? That's an amazing action Jesus did for you and for me. So we can respond. We can respond today as the Lord Jesus says, come. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That invitation goes out to all today. We can come to him because he has made the way. He died on the cross. He rose again. Sins paid for in full. Life to the full offered. Let nothing stop you receiving that offer that Christ gives, that he made available for you. Let no excuses stand in your way. Make sure you have come to him. Make sure you've received the gift that he offers you, the gift of life eternal, the gift of your sins completely forgiven. Make sure you've submitted your life to him, that you're trusting in him, committing your life to following him day by day, because he gave his life for you. Make sure you come to him. And then make sure you rejoice. Rejoice over what he has and what he will do for you. He will be with you every step of the way through everything you go through as you trust in him. He will take you to be with him one day in heaven. Rejoice and seek to live your life in gratitude for what he has done on the cross for you, what he went through for you. What will you do for him, for the one who has done everything for you, given his very life for you? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that Jesus was willing to suffer, suffering at the hands of those who created. Lord, betrayed by those who were with him, ignored by those who were with him. Lord, yet he willingly went to the cross to die for them and for us so our sins could be forgiven, so we could have peace. Lord, I pray you will help each one here submit their lives to you. Lord, help each one commit their lives to you through trusting in Christ. And Lord, help us follow you. Lord, help us never forget that when we do wrong, because of Jesus, you are always willing to forgive us. Help us never to forget that. Help us to bring our sins before you, confessing them, so we can go out and live our lives for you, bringing you the glory and honor that you deserve as our King. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to finish by singing that beautiful hymn, Thine Be the Glory. And now may the God of peace, who brought back again from the dead our Lord Jesus, may he equip you all with all that you need to do his will. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ all this, all that is pleasing to him. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.